gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Cosmic Buzz with and now, here are your hosts, Mila Bates, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salvin!
I am Pete, and that's our band in the booth. Oh, guys, we have an amazing show for
you. Yeah, we do.
First, hey, Pete.
Hey,
Alex. What, is this the first time we're seeing each other?
No, I have a little bit of a riddle for you.
Oh, Pete. Okay.
What's the difference between somebody calling you on the phone and somebody being on a show in person?
I don't know.
Exactly. Well, we may have told some of you guys that Jane Wideland would be here in person. She's not. Unfortunately, she's going to be here on the phone, and she's going to be calling any second. But we do have an amazing guest for you who we are very excited.
Who is here.
He is physically here.
Yeah.
Oh. He's not calling in? Maybe he should stay back and call us.
In this day and age, the difference between being physically there and being there via computer is small indeed.
Small indeed.
Wow, that's really wonderful, you guys.
I'm also very excited about our wonderful first guest, so let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Hartnett.
Yeah! Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Hello, welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Have a seat.
Hi.
Whoa. I know, right?
What?
Oh, boy. Special treats,
you guys
huh?
Do it right.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
So, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate
Thanks
it. Coming back
me.
To the show.
Yeah, I guest hosted a couple times.
Yeah.
Three years ago.
Yeah.
Well,
how's
this
that,
show hasn't been that long.
It has.
How'd that it's pay off for you?
Really well. It led to a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Like the appearance tonight.
Yeah. Way to lay the groundwork,
yeah.
Man.
You know.
That's good. Who do you have to talk to get on this show?
One of three gentlemen.
Well, our agent, manager, and publicist.
Yeah, your publicist. Right. Yeah. I went through your publicist.
Yeah, nice. We have the character on Entourage as our publicist. The fictional character on Entourage.
Oh, Debbie Mazar's
yeah.
character?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fictional. Great.
Or Jeremy Piven's character? I don't know. I haven't watched that show.
He's
years.
An agent.
Yeah.
Do they still hug
Debbie
it out?
Debbie Mazar is the publicist. I haven't, well, unless some shakeups have happened in the 4 years since I've watch.
Nope, same show. Times are tough for Vince.
Terrible show.
Yeah. Anybody watching this season?
Oh my God, shut up.
Barf!
Shut up.
It's
stop
it's
talking about
bad. Last episode was pretty good.
Did you make an Aquaman 2 yet? Or?
You guys want to talk about Hung?
All right, let's
shut up. All right, let's actually talk about your show over here. So I Like Superman is a show.
One nerd show.
There you go.
Get it? Nice. You see what I did there?
Yeah. I don't know why I felt it was necessary to put that postcard at the bottom, but I did.
Wow.
Tell us about the show. What's the idea of the show?
Well, it may surprise you, but I am a fan of Superman.
Weird.
I know. I have been since I was a little kid, which led to hilarious anecdotes, which I may or may not tell on the show. And I also I wrote a blog a few years ago called So I Like Superman. A lot of anecdotes and comic book reviews and all this stuff. And I decided to turn some of that into a narrative.
Yeah.
So it's this Friday at 7:30 at UCB, and people seem to be liking it.
I saw the show.
You should come check it out.
It
and
was
what did you
very,
think?
Very good.
Wow.
That's glowing. That's proof positive.
Endorsement.
Yeah,
did you
glowing.
Get all the Superman references, or did it go over your head?
Oh, yeah, way over your head.
Do you have anything about... what's your opinion on Superman walking across the country? For those of you who don't know, this is what's happening in these Superman comic books right now.
Yeah, well, I don't actually mind the idea of Superman
walking.
Isn't
your walking? Show So I Like Superman Walking Across the Country? That's like sort of the full title.
One Nerd Show, yeah.
Yeah.
Forget about that. Gotta keep that in
How
that.
Many people are in the cast, though?
There's one nerd.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just
like, there's one nerd, clearly.
Yeah, it's
but,
me. You saw it. Huh? There's nobody else on that stage.
Now, I can't help but notice that between one and nerd, there's a dash on this postcard. Do you put a dash normally between one man
yeah.
and one man show? You do?
Don't I'm not the one.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
don't
it
you?
Looks wrong to me.
Huh?
It does?
Are you,
yeah.
Are you grammatical?
Can we get a... Can we get a...
Anybody?
One man?
It's adjective, because... It's adjectival, so you put a hyphen.
All right.
Only in our audience would we know. Yeah!
And only in our audience do we hear the word adjectival.
Yeah. So we can't even say it. No, we pay him as our grammarian to be here.
Grammarian.
Same budget we pay our publicist.
I mean, That's good to know. It's good to know that's what your opinion on Superman walking across America is.
Also,
let me say this. Let me say this.
Before, please dedicate all your sips throughout the rest of the show.
I shall. I like the idea of Superman walking across the country, actually, because he's been in space for a year. Yeah. And let's face it, that got a little old. Yeah. So finally, he's once again a remarkable person in an ordinary world, which I think is great. And taking him back to his, like, Siegel and Shuster social activism roots. I just wish the execution was a little more even. That's all.
Interesting.
Don't you think he... did you read Superman number 701?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Don't you think he had, like, this air of superiority that Superman doesn't actually have?
Yeah, he was sort of a jerk.
Kind of, right?
So
everybody.
You feel like Superman doesn't have superiority?
I think he's superior because he doesn't behave... superiorly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why he's...
I find that adjectable.
Mr. Adjectable, is that correct? Once again.
He's a little humble.
Huh?
He's a little humble.
He is!
Superman, yeah.
Superman is just a little humble.
He's quite humble. So yeah. This portrayal, I think, is a little off, but
it's real
JMS's
Christy,
first issue.
Real
so
Jesus
we'll
Christ.
Maybe.
Ball busty a little bit.
JMS does have a god complex, so all his male characters...
Fair enough.
That's
yeah.
Totally true. I don't want to interrupt too much. You're checking phone?
He's checking the phone.
Cool. We should be getting a phone call any second, you guys. Nobody get nervous or anything like that. The other thing that's happened to the show that's a really, really big deal is our guests and our hosts have actually switched couches. Pete, you look kind of upset about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset about it.
Me too.
Okay. Is that going to affect your performance on the show?
Probably.
Hasn't changed too much so far.
We're sitting same way, same position, legs wide open, as per usual.
Legs
wide
room.
Open, as per usual.
That's his way.
All right. Well, with the risk of it possibly being interrupted, I think we're going to move on to our first section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
Yay.
Yeah, we do.
Love to call it the stack. It's our favorite thing to call it the stack. Guys, first thing we're going to talk about, and I'm going to double check it here if you can go to the slide, is Amazing Spider-Man number 639.
Oh my God. No.
Yep.
I mean, yes, actually, as it turns out. So this is the second part of One Moment in Time, which is showing what happened.
Ring
in the
phone. Save us. Save us all.
We're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. In the past, for those of you who don't know, Spider-Man and Mary Jane's marriage was sold to the devil a couple of years ago.
That's a great idea. Sweet writing. Get behind it.
This is Marvel EIC Joe Quesada and artist Paulo Rivera showing what happened to the gap between that happening and the start of Spider-Man's brand new day. So what do you guys think about this issue?
You just read it. Please tell us.
Oh, it is just a breath of fresh air. Just so right on. It takes the characters and puts them exactly where you want them. Sitting in a room talking about shit that never happened and shouldn't have happened in the first place. It's fucking great.
Well, Pete's a fan, clearly. I don't see a real pithy review. They're like wallowing in this thing, and it's very it's a frustrating read, especially like there's one point where we see a panel of like Mary Jane imagining like the daughter together. And I'm just like, why? It's just terrible. It's just it hurts.
It
I love
hurt.
These characters.
It hurts you now.
And it hurts.
Friend.
Yeah. Huh?
Good.
Well, I like the other stuff. But why do we have to sit here? I understand why they made the change. But to go back and be like, here's what happened. Here's when they broke up. And here's when they were really sad all the time. And here's when
and now they're just sitting around drinking wine being like, ugh, this is a tough conversation.
Nothing wrong with meeting up with an ex and having
a oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Nothing wrong with
dude,
that.
Dude, anything can happen.
Exactly. That's why you
right?
do stuff
it's
like
right? It's pretty
that.
Cool.
Are they having wine?
Why won't you bring
what?
They were in the she is having wine.
Yeah.
She's mind. Having wine, he's having tea because Spider-Man does not
drink.
Yeah. But women need to drink to deal with superheroics.
Yes, they do.
Is the real lesson there.
The art is really good.
Beautiful.
Paulo
Rivera's beautiful.
Art is great. Let's
the
talk about that a little bit.
Is good.
I just he's just very throwback, like draftsman, kind of like, I don't know, sort of.
What frustrated
Silver
me?
Age
oh, the
Marvel
art, yeah.
style. It's really cool.
Frustrated me, Spider-Man in the black costume, right after he screws up his wedding, doesn't show up. He whips out a cell phone and calls Mary Jane, which again, like, well, this whole story takes you out of the story of Spider-Man, and then to have him be like, it's 1970, whatever, and I'm calling on the phone.
This is getting into the sliding timeline of comics, which is always a tricky thing.
Yeah.
That if you assume, I don't even necessarily want to get into it, but if you assume Pete is staring at that phone, like, very entering, assume that Mary Jane and Peter Parker didn't get married just a couple of years ago, you can't also assume that they got married in the 1970s, so conceivably they
The can. Last issue had art from the Silver Age.
I'm not necessarily defending it. I'm just saying that this is part of the thing of reading comics.
But I think that just makes it even worse, because it's like, we need to make this editorial change so that Spider-Man can be single. And then that's like, oh, and now because of the sliding timeline, it's just like, where's the story? Then I'm, it's all
maybe
like,
Mr. Fantastic made himself one.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Doug, you know what we need? Like, thank you. Thank you. What we need is an even smaller moment in time, which shows Mr. Fantastic being like, and here's a cell phone.
Yeah. I want to see all of those moments from the past.
Yeah.
Every single comic book, like, why are we constantly seeing, oh, look at this monumental thing that happened 4 years ago that doesn't move the character forward. This other thing in the stack, though pretty to look at,
We'll get there,
but I'm just saying, it all takes place in the past, so there's no consequence.
Don't forget about your past, or you'll be doomed to repeat it.
Ooh.
Heart me.
Whoa. Well, I just wish there was a little more bringing it back, but there rarely is.
I think that was actually pointed about coming back on the show again.
Yeah. You've doomed yourself.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
I'll see you guys in 3 years.
Wow.
The sips for Father Time.
Oh.
Nice. All right, we're going to move on. Next thing we're going to talk about is this little issue, which is Brightest Day, number 7. You guys...
No reaction.
Brightest Day. We've all wondered for the past 7 issues why heroes and villains alike have returned in the DC Universe. And finally, we have found out. One of them, it is to throw a boomerang. Another, it is to catch that boomerang.
Awesome.
The end. That's pretty much it. I'm not even joking.
This could have been the first issue of this series.
Yeah.
I can't believe it isn't.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. Even in the beginning where they're having a cheeseburger, they're like, oh, it's great, we can all sit here and relax, but what the fuck's going on? And then they're like, shoom, it's happening! And it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I feel like we've all been eating a proverbial cheeseburger for the first 6 issues. Am I right?
Is that a bad thing? Is that supposed to be like, oh, gross cheeseburger?
What if you have really high cholesterol?
Sure, I mean, there's circumstances in which you wouldn't like to have a cheeseburger, but most people like cheeseburgers.
Not me, that has a sense.
Not you?
I don't really enjoy them either.
I want to talk about this. Boothman, you don't like cheeseburgers?
No, they're usually on the ground for me. So.
On the ground?
On the ground.
What? Where are you going?
What?
I can't afford to, like, buy things, so, you know.
So you pick up floor burgers?
They're pretty good sometimes, but sometimes they have roaches in it, so I don't like them.
What
is doesn't the New York Times have a name for you folks? What is it? Huh?
Boothman.
Boothman. Boothman.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, Boothman.
Oh, boy. Do you feel like there's anything good about this issue, about the series?
I like Deadman. I don't know why
if
he's hanging out
like
with Hawk and Dove.
You'll love this.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of The Brightest Day. This was the first issue I read. What possibly could have happened in issues 1 through 6.
To be honest, it's them hanging out.
This clearly is like the call to arms.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, assemble the team.
There was a real touching moment
issue.
With Aquaman and this lady where they hug for like 3 panels.
Yeah, but it's kind of in here too anyway.
Yeah. Well, the first, it was every 3 pages would be them checking in with the different heroes and them being like, Firestorm, so I have these certain problems. And then moving on, and then later, the next issue would be like, still, I don't like the other guy in this.
Yeah,
when
Man.
DC does these weekly and bi-weekly things, they just bide their time. Why do they do that?
What are they waiting for?
That's what are they
question.
Waiting
yeah,
for?
Get
blow
to
some shit up.
Right.
Now.
All right, guys, let's move on to the next comic we're going to talk about, which is this comic over here, Shadowland, number 2 of 5. Totally redefining the man without fear in the Marvel Universe. You guys, at the end of this series, there is going to be a new man without fear.
Oh,
Finally, I mean, we've all been demanding that there's a new fearless man in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, most of the heroes in the Marvel Universe, let's be honest, are like,
they're so scared.
I don't want to go outside and fight crime.
Yeah, no.
I'm getting a phone call.
Oh my god, it's happening!
This is good that you guys.
This could be anybody.
Oh, thanks for
coming. Hello?
Yeah. I hate it over there.
Could you turn the volume up?
Hello?
Really?
Yeah. That was great.
We're back. Maybe it's because she's right backstage. She's not.
Man, that is.
Oh.
What a tease.
Huh? Yeah, we'll keep talking and then she'll come back.
Or do you want to call her back?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Great. We're very technically after the show. Let's keep talking about Shadowlands.
Never mind that she was the one that hung
up. All right. That's fine. She gets.
Oh, good. Now we'll get to hear her pick up. Dramatic.
Hello?
Alex, this is Jane Collins.
Hey Jane, this is I'm actually Justin, but we're all here on Comic Book Club. And
hi.
Say hi, Alex.
Welcome to the show.
Hey! Oh my gosh. Wow, big crowd.
Yeah.
All ten
of us. 200 people.
Or 20, one or the other.
She got it on the nose.
Hi, Jay, this is Alex from Comic Book Club. Thanks so much for taking our call. Let's talk about Lady Robotica.
All right.
So, for those people who don't know what the series is about, can you give them a little bit of a rundown?
Lady Robotica is my new comic book series that I created with my partner, Bro Morrison, who is part of the Simpsons and Futurama crew. And Lady Robotica is the story of how I, Jamie Lundo, from being the Garden Variety Earthling rock star to getting abducted by aliens, experimented on, turned into a cyborg, and eventually become a superhero.
Awesome.
Nice. It's a documentary.
My autobiography.
Now, one of the things I think is that's cool, a lot of celebrities are writing comic books now, but you have a lot of geek cred. You've done voice acting on Batman Adventures, among other things. What specifically drew you to do a comic book?
Well, I am a lifelong sci-fi fanatic, which started when original, I hate to say how old I am, but when original Star Trek came on in the 60s, I was a little kid and my whole family, I had lots of brothers and sisters and that was like our favorite show, so I grew up kind of obsessed with science fiction. Then that only got worse when Star Wars came out and I mean, not that there's only two things I like, but there's obvious things. So, I've always been a fan of science fiction, and I've gone to a lot of cons, not really for the comic books so much as either for the sci-fi, or sometimes I would just go like as a celeb and sign autographs or whatever, but I didn't really have a lot of any comic book experience. That's kind of Bill's thing. Bill is a comic book fanatic from when he was a kid. And when we decided we wanted to work together, it was his idea to do a comic and have the main characters be based on me. I was a little worried because I didn't know anything about comics, but he's kind of been fooling me about it. And actually, since the project started, I'm turning into a comic book fanatic too. And the reason I never really got into comics is because I never really got how you were supposed to really look at the artwork. So I would just read the words and plug to it in 10 minutes and then be like, okay, I'm bored now. Like, because the whole story would be over before I started and I'd be frustrated. So it took someone like Bill to sit me down and really kind of point out how comics work. I guess it should have been pretty obvious, but. And then the other thing, of course, being graphic novels, which I didn't know about and now I'm obsessed with as well. So doing Lady Robotica kind of opened my mind up to a whole new world, a world that's kind of adjacent to one that I already sort of lived in my brain, but definitely a different world.
Is there anything in particular you're reading and enjoying?
God, I have a huge stack of stuff next to my bed, but right now I am reading the Ex Machina series. I've got the first four graphic novels, and I go find the fifth one. I like Why the Last Man.
Yeah.
I like Fables.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's tons of good stuff. Like I said, I'm very drawn to the graphic novel because I like the story to last longer. Next to my bed, I have Watchmen, which, believe it or not, I haven't read yet. I'm embarrassed, but I have read it, so I'm going to read it.
You can just watch the movie.
I've always been, more the book person than the movie person, though, of course, I love movies as well.
We have a couple of questions from audience members that I'm going to read to you, if that's cool.
Okay.
First of all, will we see you in any more acting jobs or doing any more voiceovers?
Definitely, yeah. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to do another movie with Steve Balderson, who's the director that did the Women in Prison movie, Stuck, that I was in last year. And this year's movie's called The Casserole Club, and it's about a neighborhood that the couple start like a dining club, and then it turns into like a sex club.
Yeah! Classic story.
It's really crazy and weird and dark and hopefully kind of funny. Usually my role in Steve's movies, I always provide comic relief because I'm not exactly a serious person. So last year in Stuck, I was every time a person who killed their baby, and it doesn't sound very funny, but actually if you see the movie, I'm kind of the only funny part in the movie. I was the way that man, the bus depot, and I had like distribution board for him, and it came up, I had like a black eye and a broken arm, and I don't know, it all sounds really dark and not funny, but for whatever reason, I just have a hard time making characters serious, so I tend to make them funny. And in this new movie, I'm going to be playing a church lady, so you can imagine what I'm going to do with that one. One thing for sure is I'll have to wear a wig, because my hair is bright blue, and I don't think church ladies have blue hair.
Cool. Next question is, tell us about your song for the Big Gay Ice Cream Truck.
Ooh! My friend Doug Quinn, who lives in New York City and is a classical musician, last summer decided to get into an ice cream truck and do gourmet toppings. And so he called it Big Gay Ice Cream, and I think because it was such an outrageous name for a business that it really took off. It got tons of attention, and tons of New Yorkers immediately got obsessed with him. And he does all these crazy high-end toppings, which some of them sound so weird, and I, in actual fact, have never gotten to try any of it. But he has stuff like crushed wasabi peas and sea salt and olive oil and plus Nutella and like tons of like sweet stuff too, but it's all very like gourmet. So because Doug and I are friends, he asked me to write a song for the truck. So I was like, okay, well that sounds fun. So I just, did my regular poppy, punky type song, and he loved it so much that we're going to be releasing it on iTunes. But my big dream is that he's going to have it converted into actual ice cream music, so it'll be like the bells. I think that'd be super sweet. This is definitely one place my music has not been yet.
Cool. And last question from an audience member is, what is the best misheard lyric of your songs you've ever heard?
I guess the really famous one is a lot of people, especially in our Australia, thought that Our Lips Are Sealed was a song about a seal named Alex. Those wacky Australians, right? that's the best one I've heard.
Well, that's great. When does Lady Robotica, where should people check it out? When can they check it out?
The first issue came out about a month ago, and we're just ready to release issue 2 in a couple days. But issue 1 sold out, so it's not that easy to find, but, you know, people can check the local comic store, and I'm sure people already know this, but if you don't know where your comic store is, you can go to comicshoplocator.com and put in your zip code, and it'll tell you, like, the closest comic shops to you. And the other place that actually might still be available is online at Things From Another World, which is tfaw.com. And they seem to have a lot of them. A lot of places sold out right away. They didn't really know, you know, how it was going to sell, so it was sort of, you know, not a whole lot of them got made. So I've actually already seen a couple copies on eBay, which I thought was really funny.
And a last really important question, if they were making a Bill and Ted 3, would you come back for that?
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah!
I did hear that they were going to be remaking the movie Clue. And I don't know if the audience is familiar, but I was in the Clue movie. I played the singing telegram girl, and then she goes, I am your singing telegram, and then they get shot in my eyes. Like, it's a lot like most of my roles, very short, but memorable. But I was thinking if they remake Clue, I was going to really campaign to try and be like one of the ladies, like Mrs. White or something.
Cool. That's awesome.
Well, cool. Great. Thank you so much, Jane, for calling. Everybody give her a round of applause.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having
me. Good luck with the book.
Call back anytime.
Thank you. Check it out. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's go back to talking about comic books.
Boring on comic books. Pete, I gotta say, when that phone rang, you got the fuck out of there. Yeah. Panic.
What's going on?
Wow, that was crazy.
I don't like it over there.
That's our review of Shadowlands. So let's move on to the next book that we're gonna talk about, which is S.H.I.E.L.D. number 3.
Did we end up talking about Shadowlands?
I think that was a review of Shadowlands.
Yeah, Jane reviewed it. She loved it.
Yeah.
Weren't you listening?
I'm enjoying it. For what it's worth.
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, it's Shadowland.
S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Pete, what do you think of S.H.I.E.L.D.? I'm curious to know.
It's very confusing.
Is anybody reading this?
Nope.
Cool, do you guys like it?
Yeah. Yeah. Union's a dick.
Yeah, that's why I took away too.
Yeah. That's why Marvel spells his name wrong.
Oh, interesting. No way. Now who's being the grammarian?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
Don't take his job away.
Alex the Seal is being the grammarian.
Oh, my life dream. I've always wanted to be a seal.
I like this.
Fun fact.
It barely takes place in the Marvel Universe. It's so much like crazy, like sci-fi, history, sort of steampunky stuff. And then they'll be like, oh, in Galactus, we fought him. And they just move on with the rest of the story.
It's being a... I mean, when we're talking about comic book worlds, you know, you were saying earlier that talking about things that happened 4 years earlier and not moving characters forward at all, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s basically like, hey, everything you knew about the Marvel Universe was wrong. Here's all this new stuff that's been going on all the time. Everything is different. Everything is recontextualized.
Yeah.
So as a regular reader of comic book, it's like whip-snappingly strong on your neck, I think, just to read it. I'm just saying, you're reading it,
you
and you're
like,
what?
This? What is like, oh, what?
I read it, a friend of mine drives me along in a car when I'm reading S.H.I.E.L.D., and he stops short every time something crazy happens.
Oh, wow. That's no friend of yours, I don't think.
He says he's a friend. I give him $20.
I would like to say the art is really good.
Art is great.
I didn't read it, but it looks great.
Yeah, cool.
It's a very different type of book. I like it, though. It's good.
All right, let's move on. Next thing we're going to talk about over here is... Avengers Prime, number
one,
which we cut from the stack. Let's move on.
Yeah.
All right, next thing to talk about, Sweet Tooth, cut that too. Move on.
That book.
Things are going well. Yeah, Spider-Man the Fantastic Four, number 2. We were big fans of Christos Gage and Mario Alberti, I believe. First series that they did, Spider-Man and X-Men. What do you think about this one so far?
I love this. I think it's great. It is set back in the past also, which frustrates some members of the panel. But
Panel?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, we're a panel.
We're a panel.
What do you judge?
Huh? You, and poorly. The I like the.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Oh. We can still talk. We can still talk. Mutiny.
You're not that powerful.
I'll turn off your voice.
Oh. I don't think that's
possible.
I love the She-Hulk. Shut up. The She-Hulk in the Fantastic Four. I thought that was such a great fun time in Fantastic Four history. Great story.
Really enjoyable.
Yeah, very enjoyable. The art is amazing. It's great, great stuff.
But you like this Spider-Man?
Yeah, this Spider-Man's great.
But this Spider-Man never married Mary Jane.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I take it back.
Okay. Cool. Next thing we're going to talk about, next issue is this one over here, which is Marvel Universe versus The Punisher, number one.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, you like The Punisher, right?
Oh, man, do I.
But you didn't pick this up.
Pete! Yeah. I know.
I guess they're going to have to take The Punisher out of the Marvel Universe. No one's reading.
What? Come on. I missed a book. It happens to the best of us.
So far, The Punisher sells one copy, and it's to you. So if you don't buy an issue, Pete.
I'm as soon as I leave here, I'm going to return some cans, and then I'm going to buy a copy.
Like cans that you previously bought?
No, I go around to other people's garbage containers and dig through them and get cans.
That's no, I mean, I know that.
It'd be way better if you tried to return full cans.
Cans of paint.
Can. Soup, whichever.
Yeah.
What's the difference, right?
Yeah, am I right? What?
Okay. Between paint and
what do you think about this?
It's awesome. It's really just fantastic.
What is it?
Started hilarious though with the whole what's his name? Deadpool. It was real funny. It's like, I've killed this guy so many times and he keeps going.
Punisher is the last remaining human being in a Marvel universe full of zombies.
Bold premise.
And he goes around killing everybody and taking them out because he's the last man alive. I'm guessing you did not like this.
What's the deal with the Punisher being... Oh, sorry, my phone is buzzing.
Oh, okay.
Is it Jane?
It's just like, well, Marvel Zombies, this is Marvel Zombies where just the Punisher wins.
Yeah.
And it's funny that he's like, and halfway through it, he's like, you might be wondering why I didn't become a zombie. He's like, well, some scientists gassed me.
No, he shot a scientist and they got splattered with the antidote. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, totally. Here's my question. You like this so much, what's the Punisher going to do when he's by himself with a bunch of guns and there's no one else to hang out with?
He'll die happy. He'll be like, they're all mine, all the guns and bullets. I won.
Is that what it's
at? That's his motivation?
They're just going to be like,
the entire time? He was like, there was nothing with his family in the park.
There
was some criminals who were like, he saw some criminals with guns, and he's like, I want those.
I'd like to bring up the Marvel Zombies. I think this is a smarter Marvel Zombies.
Why? You don't know?
Because Punisher's in it.
Yeah.
So, I haven't read this.
Right.
Yeah.
But I hate it.
Yeah.
You're so judgmental.
It looks great. It looks fantastic. It looks fantastic.
Yes, sir.
But can we just talk about this page for just a second, please? All right, so first, it's like Punisher is talking about the world that was.
Yeah.
And there is a panel where the ladies, the panelists of The View...
lose it.
Chase the audience with knives.
I think that's eventually going to happen.
So that's amazing.
That's eventually going to happen.
And then also, Punisher here is in front of the Museum of History and in front of Natural... Some no good Nick has spray painted pun.
Whoa!
Yeah. Wow.
That's really? What you got, yeah.
Dude, I love this. All these smart comments on life.
It's really smart.
I forgot that. So instead, it's the Museum of Unhistory?
Unnatural history.
Okay, not
hey, but Whoopi Goldberg smacked somebody the other day, they said, so hey.
Oh, man, it's starting. It's getting real.
None of these drawings seem to depict Whoopi, unfortunately.
You guys know that when Jonathan Mayberry writes a comic book, he's like...
That is gross. That is really gross.
Watching him do that was gross.
I only do that when the gods tell me to. Let's hear about the next comic book we're going to talk about. It's this one, Last Family.
I think we should talk about this one.
Yeah.
Last Family of Krypton, an Elseworlds series, first Elseworlds series from DC in a good long while.
A really long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Superman fan, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it.
Shocker.
Did anybody read it? Yeah. A couple? Did you guys like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you both did. Oh, what? Cool. So Cary Bates used to write Superman comics in the 70s, and he wrote, like, the Superboy series and all this stuff. And then he, like, disappeared for a while, although he did write a screenplay for Superman 5, which never was made because there was no technology to do what he wanted to
do. What was it about?
It was about Superman going into the bottled city of Kandor and finding Brainiac.
Cool.
It would have been fucking cool, I think. But only if they made it now, because if they made it in like 89, it would look terrible. So there's lots of like echoes of the Superman screenplay, the original one. That's awesome. I will say,
what about it's naughty mommy in this thing?
Naughty mommy?
Yeah, like she has
she's super
naughty
hot.
Little
she's super
outfits.
Let's talk about the size of her butt on this one page.
Yeah,
no.
Just flip
look
that.
At this.
Why is that?
Can we get some fries with this?
Have you been watching the magazines?
Hey, Kryptonians got back.
I guess they do got back.
No, she's super hot throughout this entire comic.
So basically, Superman and his parents all fly to Earth together.
Yeah.
Is it weird? Because I feel weird because I'm like looking at Superman's mom and I'm like, damn.
It's weird that she's not real.
Touche.
Maybe that is the weird part.
Yeah.
It's also weird later where they have sex in the sun.
Yeah.
They do have sex in the sun here.
Awesome.
If you could have sex in the sun, you'd have sex in the sun.
So, I'm barely happy in this hot summer here.
Oh, that's actually totally.
What is this panel then?
You know. Yeah. You know what it is.
Is that fire spooch?
All suns again. No.
That's it's an unexplored power of Superman. Everybody talks about how, like, he blasts.
Oh, by the way, they're really pissed at each other. They're so mad. He's like.
So this anger sense.
He's so pissed. Six. And then they fly into the sun. And then the last panel, they're just like, yay!
Mom and Dad.
We fucked in the sun. Everything's better.
That's true, man. You would if you could.
And that's it for the stack.
It's like having sex. It's good. It's good.
All right, now it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Boothman.
Boothman!
Hooray!
Hey!
Yeah, whatever.
So anticlimactic.
Is that a Mai Tai Boothman? What's
it's
going on?
It's got alcohol, whatever it is.
Good.
Good. I got some questions.
All right.
That's what we brought you out here.
What? That's it?
Yes.
Okay.
We want to adopt you. Oh, sorry. Go on.
Will Paul Dini being on board in the Ultimate Superman show be good enough? Oh, Spider-Man show. Excuse me. Be good enough, or be enough to keep it the show going on for more than two seasons?
Yes.
Yes.
Great.
What? I think each season is just going to be one and done, and then they won't have to.
What?
Because Paul Dini.
One season and done.
Yeah.
Why?
What are you talking about?
Well, he writes really good one and done
stories.
Oh, comics, I see.
So
what
I
you're
thought,
saying.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe the episodes will be self contained.
Yeah.
Oh,
just like all
bit. On
just
it.
Like
I didn't mean to horn in on the bit.
Anytime right. You try to explain a joke.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Cool. We're going to talk about it more in a bit. Let's raise your hands.
We have a lot to say.
Pete's going
to
bring you our free
Pete,
comics.
Put this in there.
Oh, God. Let's get the next question.
Could Superman by himself do the musical The Phantom of the Opera?
Could Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why specifically are you... Would you ask?
Maybe
are you casting?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I thought it was this was an improv show.
Huh?
I tried to.
Oh!
It is an improv show.
No, yeah,
this is.
Thank you for that suggestion. All right, I'll be playing.
No, no.
You be the fan of.
Huh? Can I be the chandelier?
I mean, so far this has all been scripted.
Oh. Yeah. That's why it's so tight.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice. Thanks. We're definitely gonna have you back. Thanks so much for coming on, Michael.
We'll have you call in
Hardy 2013.
Yeah, absolutely. He could do any musical by himself, but he can't really sing that well, so I don't think it'd be pleasant to watch.
Superman can't sing.
What if he
yes,
rolls
it's true.
His own?
Well, improv is based in truth. Sort of
I don't know.
Comedy,
I just I've been just reading off the script the entire time.
Yeah.
I think anyone could perform a musical by themselves if they learned the musical.
Oh, I
so
thought
Superman
you were saying,
could certainly do it. Would it be
I
great?
You,
yeah.
I thought you were going to say anybody can do Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
Superman would do Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah,
that shit is hard.
You know, I agree with you. He's more of a fancy freak.
I don't know. It wouldn't be as good though if they were up in the chandelier for that one scene. Be like, hey, you can fly. Why is he up there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's so much easier with the special effects budget. Think of the Spider-Man musical.
Although I'd love to see what he was dressed up for the Masquerade Ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so great.
Clark Kent, right, guys?
It would be hard for him to do Masquerade, just because they're all, like, doing it.
No, he would do all these little characters really fast. Like, dress up, run, and, you know.
He wouldn't even notice. He might actually be the most successful one-man.
Yeah.
Flash.
Mm. No. Wow.
And if you want to talk about a one-man show, talk about Michael Hartney performing a one-man show.
With a hyphen.
Raise your hand if you ask that. Please bring us some free comics. Let's get the next question.
You right. What kind of girls can you pick up?
Wait, girls?
What kind
I
of
like
girls?
Where this question's going.
I'm sorry again.
No.
No, this is good. The last one worked out very well, I think.
What kind of girls can you pick up with the line, I have a Spider-Man costume in my room?
All of them.
I know, all of them.
That's how Pete met his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can go for it, right?
Definitely.
See?
Yeah.
That was a valid question.
Yeah.
I don't even think you have to say anything. You just sort of show the costume and then point to the back of the
book. Magic happens.
That's the way I operate.
I would go, what?
My problem is I've used that line actually in the past. Like, I've told girls, I've been like, I got a Spider-Man costume back at my place. They're like, really? And they get back there and they're like, oh, the Iron Spider costume. And then they go on this whole rant about, like, why does it just have three arms? That doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, all right, come on. Come on, get out of here, girl.
That joke only works in a show like this.
Oh, yeah.
Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. All right. You can have more free comics.
Yeah, give them to him. That was
I think another person should get one.
All right, one more question? One more question.
Out of you guys, who can eat the most in one sitting?
Oh, boy. Pete.
Uh-oh.
I think
let's do it! Yeah.
I think we need him.
Eat this mic. Eat this... Oh, not Mike.
Eat this
mic. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. That's it for your audience questions. Guys, it is now time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
Hooray. Wow, that's intense. Nice. All right, first thing we're going to talk about, because it was so successful before, Ultimate Spider-Man, you guys.
Yeah.
The thing that wasn't mentioned earlier, actually, not only Paul Dini, but Brian Michael Bendis and the entire Man of Action crew are all working on the show. So what do you guys think about it? The biggest news other than that that's come out, Paul Dini said that they're going to follow Ultimate Spider-Man, the comic, pretty much, but they are going to allow themselves to veer away from it since it is a TV show, not a comic book.
Yeah, they made it seem like there was some sort of fresh take on the whole Spider-Man thing they were pursuing. And they didn't say what it was. I don't know.
I mean, I will say that these are some of my favorite people to work on this cartoon. If you were to put together a dream team, you would probably have Bendis on it because he knows what he's doing and he's been writing it for 130-something issues.
Years.
Paul Dini, of course, did Batman the Animated Series, which I think pretty much everybody... did you say, oh yeah, like, oh, I forgot?
Okay. I mean, I did say it like that, but I didn't know.
Okay. You know, which is a lot of people consider the best superhero cartoon probably of all time.
Yep.
And the Man of Action crew is great. They're great people. They're very funny. Either Joe Kelly or Joe Casey is on them. Joe Kelly?
Casey.
Yeah. Nice.
Can't tell them apart.
Nope. God, turn off
turn
your phone.
Sorry, gonna...
Are both of them doing
was
it?
Jane was Jane calling again?
Yeah. Was it Jane?
Yes,
all
right.
Joe Casey and Kelly? Or
no.
No, I just can't remember which one is which.
Joe Kelly.
Thank you. Oh.
Yeah, Joe Kelly's Man of Action.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
We like Joe Kelly.
Preferable.
But on the show. Good guy.
Definitely. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I think, though, they need, like, one problem I have with the comic is that all of the girlfriends, all like Gwen, MJ, and
Kitty
Pryde, they're all there all the time, and it's like, choose one and have her be around. And then, like,
well,
the
at the beginning,
like,
it's not like that.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I just think it's too much.
I don't think they'll start 133 issues in.
Mistake, I think. As a comic fan,
because no one will understand that the ultimatum wave has hit.
But they're going to start with ultimatum, I assume.
Let's hope.
Yeah. The first shot is going to be the blob eating the wasp. It'll be like, Ultimate Spider-Man! And then it'll be like, Spider-Bite, Spider-Man. Why they haven't hired us?
Steven Tyler, didn't he do that? The theme song?
Steven Tyler?
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't he here?
No,
he's gonna call Spider-Man. In a second.
Spider-Man. Yeah. Oh. I don't know. So we'll see what sort of terrible theme song they.
Hopefully it'll be good.
Lady Gaga
doing
it.
Yeah.
No. They should actually get Bendis to sing it.
Yes.
Ultimate Spider-Man. That's how I think he sings. Next thing we're going to talk about,
Superman.
The Boys is being made into a movie, and Adam McKay, who just directed The Other Guys, is directing it. What do you guys think? He's talked to...
It doesn't make any sense, though.
Sure it does.
Why not?
Because he's primarily a comedy guy, but this is dark comedy. This is...
Well...
let me take this.
Yeah, please.
You guys,
you're here.
Did anyone see The Other Guys?
No.
Yeah.
First of all, it was awesome.
Yeah.
And second, did you not think so?
No. What?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. So not only was it hilarious, but there was a great deal of action. And I thought it was really
Yeah, but
well
The Boys is darker, like...
Real dark.
Real dark.
It's dark for, like, superhero stuff, but maybe not.
Adam McKay does sketch comedy. He knows dark. Like,
I don't know.
Come on.
Seems like a pretty bright guy.
Oh,
really?
Get out.
he definitely plays the darkest character in The Other Guys.
I mean, so far...
You gotta see.
So far, it does seem, from everything that I've read, that he's definitely hitting it the right way. He's basically said that he would not sign on to the movie unless they actively went after Simon Pegg for the role of Wee Huey, which is the right decision, which is awesome. And he's also been talking a lot about watching other superhero movies, things like the hit girl in the hallway scene in Kick-Ass, and that people are raising the bar, is what he said, on superhero movies and what you can do there, both visually and action-wise and story-wise. So he's been talking a lot about how he really wants to find a way to bring that in a unique way to The Boys as well, which I think is very cool.
Yeah.
Well, if it can be as good as Jonah Hex, then.
That's it for the Week in Geek! Guys, it is time for our next section, which is trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Mr. Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
Thank you, Boothers. So this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who'd like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Simply volunteering. Yes, you.
Woo!
Come on down.
Woo! Yeah.
Woo! Okay,
don't say,
what's your
don't
name?
Say what you're about to say.
What's your name?
John.
John, audience John.
Hi, John.
Okay, so John, this could be your gift card. I'm going to put that right there. Okay, how this works is I read you a question, you listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3, gift card yours, unless he steals it.
Possible.
Okay, so today's trivia is on Batman Inc., the new upcoming series. Thank you, Boothers.
Aw, yeah.
Okay, what is the change in Batman's uniform? Is it A, shades, B, the return of the yellow symbol on his chest, or C, nipples?
B?
B is correct!
Yeah.
It is said that Morrison in the first 12 issues is going to have, is it A, team-ups, B, all one-shots, or C, have it be really, really crazy? the correct answer. Don't go for the funny one. One of them is true. It's either A or B.
Funny.
A?
Yeah! Who is not a confirmed character? Is it A, Squire, B, El Gacho, or C, Butts McGee?
C?
C is correct!
Yeah.
$25 free, sir. Congratulations.
That's amazing.
That is amazing trivia.
Yeah. That's why I'm in charge.
Oh, boy. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor this.
We'll also have a hell of a deal on comics.
Pete just got $25 just for saying
that.
Pete, what are you looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow?
Oh, there's a lot of great stuff coming out tomorrow, but I have to say, if we're only naming one thing, I'm going to have to say Hackslash. Because it's the new series on Image, and I hope he does really well.
Yeah. Hack/My First Maniac #3
Yes. #3
There you go. And recently announced, Tim Seeley, who's a good friend of ours, is doing a Ant-Man and the Wasp series for Marvel Comics, which is going to be very cool. And he's both writing and drawing that, so that's really exciting.
He draws Wildcats?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great artist.
Good book.
Right. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Superman 702, because I want to see if the snark continues, but also Welcome to Tranquility, One Foot in the Grave, #2 That book is good.
Oh, it's so good.
You love it.
I love, so I'm actually going to plug something else that Gail Simone is doing. Birds of Prey #4 comes out tomorrow, and I, similarly to Welcome to Tranquility, which is also great, when Gail Simone puts her heart into something, there is almost nothing better.
Secret Six was fantastic.
Secret Six is fantastic. The last issue of Secret Six, which I guess we didn't talk about, it came out this past week, was crazy. It was set in the Old West with no explanation whatsoever, and spoiler, everybody died at the end. So,
wow, that's a huge spoiler.
But it's an awesome, awesome, awesome issue. She does great work. Really looking forward to Birds of Prey #4 Justin.
What will she put her heart into next?
Me.
Boothman. I'm looking forward to Anya Bickley.
Unwritten #16 Great,
really?
Great series.
All that good stuff that's coming out, and that's what you're going to say?
Everyone has a different opinion.
Yeah, that's true.
Guys, you can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Michael for being on the show. Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, and grab a postcard from Michael.
Grab a postcard from me.
See that
show. Thank you. Oh, man. Okay, great.
That was hilarious.
Those are your
Yeah, I can
take them home, read them.
What for?
Yes.
Huh?